Great. And if you're a child, or maybe just a bit small and can't see, it'd be lovely to see you here at the front. We have got lots to have a look at together this morning. Things not prepared by me, so I'm also excited to see what's inside them. And if you want to bring children to the front, there are some spaces here at the front. All age services are not about having children and adults separate, but about learning together as families. So feel free to do exactly what works for you. And if you want to be explaining to children who are still sat next to you what is going on, that is also part of this. That would be great. So, how many days till Christmas? 8. It is 8 days, or 8 sleeps, I think is the correct lingo. There's 8 sleeps till Christmas. We'll be opening our Christmas presents. But I have 2 presents to open even right now here this morning. So I wonder if I could have 2 volunteers that might help. Who would like to open a present this morning for me? Do you want to come up? Do you want to come up, Chris? Do you want to come up and open a present? I've got this big one, shiny one, and this slightly damp, yucky one. Brilliant. I think, Chris, you are the youngest. Which one would you like to open? Would you like the big one or the little one? Which present would you like? Let's give you the big one, because that might be slightly easier, and you have that one, okay, in a minute. Okay, so this is a big and shiny present, if you can see it at the back there. Big and shiny and very sparkly and better wrapped than I could do. Do you want to try and open this? Do you want to open it up and see what's inside it? Try not to. Excellent. Can you reach inside? You might have to be lifted up and dunked inside to get what's inside. What is inside the amazing shiny big box? It is a sock. Yeah. Do you want to sniff it? Don't sniff it. It's got a hole in it as well, hasn't it? What a horrible rubbish present. Okay, do you want to open that one? You can go at that. Okay, a couple of things inside your present. Let me check that. What's that? Big bar of chocolates. Do you want to open that up and see what it is? Now, do you know what that is? The youth of today don't really use them so much, do they? It is a cheque for £1 million, signed John Drake, which I've been told to keep hold of just in case it's legal tender. So, a simple point, but the big shiny present looked amazing on the outside, but inside was just a sock. Whereas the present that looked like maybe it was used by what you'd line your hamster cage with actually had £1 million cheque. And a big bar of chocolate, one of the most amazing presents we've ever seen. At the end, we'll break this up and share it out, but not yet. I'll look after it. Thank you very much if you want to, do you want to sit down. And that lends us into our thought for this morning, really. This gift looked poor and dirty and scruffy, but it turned out to be an amazing gift. And when Jesus appeared into the world in that manger, it looked like a poor, dirty, scruffy kind of present, but actually it turned out to be the best gift of all, God's gift to the world. Now, we know he was born in a real place at a real time. We heard earlier where some of my colleagues were born. We didn't ask when they were born, but we heard where they were born. People born in different places. We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know we can date it because we know who was emperor and who was doing that the census and all of that. And Luke, who wrote our readings, he was a careful historian. He collected information from eyewitnesses, so we know what was going on. And when Jesus was born, he looked like that second present. He looked a bit scruffy, a bit poor, a bit, who wants that? Luke tells us his parents were far from home. There was no room for them. He was wrapped in cloths, which is probably just what Mary had lying around. And they laid him in a manger. Does anyone know what a manger is for? Down here, do you know what a manger is for? Do you know what a manger is for, Jenna? Is animals eating, exactly. Animals get nom, 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 nom. Cow spit everywhere. It's disgusting. When Jesus was born, he didn't look like a big, shiny gift. He looks scruffy. But in our reading, we heard that on the hills nearby, there were some shepherds with their sheep. An angel appeared to them to tell them exactly and actually that this baby was the best gift of all. If you've got your service sheets, you've got the reading in front of you. It's verse 10. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, great joy. It'll be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." What the angel does there is give two reasons why Jesus is the best gift of all. And to help understand that, somewhere in the congregation there are two hats. So people with hats, I'm waking you up at the back, yes. People with hats, if you could be wearing them. If you, do a couple of you want to have a look? Can you find someone with a strange hat? Do you want to go and have a look for someone with a strange hat and bring the hat forward? They're sort of obvious. I'm lucky there aren't too many other strange hats, so we're okay. We're safe this morning. Go and find a hat. Go find someone with a strange hat and grab the hats. Don't rip off their wig if they're wearing a wig. Everyone's walking past you, Anna. You just look normal. Brilliant. That's a heavy hat. See if you can bring that one forward. Someone bring Anna's hat as well. Can you see? Brilliant. Do you want to bring that one forward? Come on up and show us the hats. Brilliant. Come up and show the hat. Can you hold it up a little bit high so people can see? Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, you can bring your arms down because that's quite heavy, isn't it? So two sorts of hats. Now, what sort of person might wear a hat like this? Can anyone guess? Someone like a builder. Do you want to have a look at kind of the words on the front? Might help you a bit as well. Someone who kind of does dangerous things. Fire and rescue man. It could be a fire and rescue man. Excellent. Yes, a fireman. So he's got kind of the torch and things. You can see he'll be very safe. He's ready for action. A fireman who comes and rescues people, who saves people. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." So brilliant. You went to find that one. You can come and help me open this box. So if you want to stick this down, this box here now. And let's see what's inside this. Okay, I've relaxed because we've seen this in action, the first one. And it's sort of safe. And it's been taped down too much. But the word here is Savior. Can you see that? Can you see that, the word Savior? So there is our sign saying, Savior. Jesus came to be a Savior. So just like that fireman, can you imagine what a fireman might do? There's a burning building, there's people stuck maybe in a cupboard or in a room high up, and he'll come crashing through, and he'll rescue someone who is stuck. They can't save themselves, they are facing disaster. And a fireman might rescue that person. Well, Jesus came to do just that. He came to save people. You and me. He came to save us. And he came to save us not from a fire, but from our sins, which is a rescue that we all need. We're not robbers or murderers necessarily, but we learn here in church, don't we, that the word sin is an attitude we have to God. It's saying, shove off God, I'm going to be in charge of my life. I'm not going to follow your ways. I'm going to live for myself. It's pushing God away and living our lives without him. And we all do that. It leads to selfishness and arguments and everything that's wrong in the world. Sin cuts us off from friendship with God. And we're stuck. There's nothing we can do. And try as we might, we cannot stop sinning. And we are facing disaster. Because the penalty for sin is death and being separated from God forever. But Jesus came as a Savior. He came to be it says Savior over there. He came to save us from our sins. He was born in a manger, one of those funny little things down there. But he grew up. He lived a perfect life. He was the one person who didn't deserve to die and be separated from God. And he loved us so much that in the end he died for us on the cross. He paid the penalty in our place for sins. He became separated from God the Father as he died on the cross so that we don't have to be. And if we trust in him, we are saved from our sins. If we put our trust in him, we are forgiven and we have friendship with God. Now, can I have a volunteer to hold up another picture, please? you want to come up and hold this one? John was on the lookout for unusual presents. So I don't know, this is quite a big thing. Can you hold it? You're going to disappear behind it. But that's a sacrifice we're prepared to pay. You might not be able to see this very far at the back, but this front one is what is called a motorized rolling pin. You need only press the safety button or something, and it does rolling pin things for you. I have a PhD in physics. I cannot work out how this is in any way useful. But there you go. So an automatic rolling pin. Maybe that is just exactly what you need for Christmas. Or do you want to turn it around? Now this, I don't want to be too sexist about this, but I think this is a lady thing. If you have shoes which are far too special for the rain, these are shoe umbrellas. They carefully protect your shoes from all sorts of problems. Hopeless, useless presents. Thank you very much. That's very difficult to hold up. But useless presents. There are useless presents. If you've started looking for presents, you know there are presents you can't imagine anyone ever buying. Many people think that Jesus is a useless gift. Maybe because they don't think they need him, or because he's just born a long time ago. But actually, we know he's the one gift we need. He was born in a scruffy manger. It didn't look very impressive at the beginning, but he is a savior, the only savior from sin. Now, your present, your hat. What kind of hat is this? It is like a crown, yes. I think he was aiming actually at a crown. What sort of person wears that sort of thing? A queen or a king. Brilliant. Do you want to have a sit down now? Because you've been up here for a while. That's brilliant. A queen or a king would hold this. In verse 11, the angel said to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And we know that word Christ, Messiah, means promised king. The word Christ means a promised king. God, Jesus was going to be a king. So to remind us of that, can I have one more person to open up a box? Do you want to come and open this box? Let's see what Simon has done to the stuff inside this one. Come on up. Come on, Jenna. Help me. If we leave it too long, it opens itself. Wow. You definitely have two modes, don't you? Yeah. This is the other mode. Wow, look at that. And it's going to stop. Yes, it is going to stop. Okay. We're not nervous of our visuals at all. So that says, King. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Diana. Centuries earlier, God had promised his people that he would send a Christ, a king, who would rescue them. For years, they'd had bad and foolish kings, and then other nations had come and taken over. And finally, the Romans were there. They were conquered. But now, in Jesus, the Christ had come. And Jesus grew up. He showed that he was king. So can I have one more person? Does someone else want to hold up a sign? We might be running out of sign holders. Someone else want to hold up a sign? Or someone who's already done something? Brilliant. Thank you. You've been brilliant. Hold that one up. So, can you see what sort of king is Jesus being? Can you see that story there? Story of the storm. So there was a storm and Jesus was in the boats. What did he do? What could he do? Do you remember that story? Yeah. Sorry? Well, that was another version of a boat in the water. But what was Jesus doing? What could Jesus do or say in the middle of the storm? He calmed the storm, didn't he? He just said, "Storm, shut up." And the storm stopped and it was all calm. Or when, can you see this person is feeling a bit poorly? A number of us have been poorly recently. What could Jesus do for poorly people? This is always a good test of Sunday school. Yes. He could help them, couldn't he? He could make them completely better. Brilliant. He had power over nature, power over illness. Can you spin it round? Not quite big, aren't they? Now, what is that story? I heard something. Power over death. It was resurrection, was he? Rising from the dead. He showed he was a king who had power over nature, power over illness, even power over death. This was an amazing king with power. The angel calls him Christ the Lord. The Lord is God's title, and he is going to be king. Can anyone recognize who this might be? It is the queen. You're not supposed to guess quite that easily. There she is now. She looked like that, and later on she became queen, I think aged 25. Jesus was king right from his birth. And this is a king that we have to respond to. Thank you. Shall I take that one? So if you ask people, well, who rules your life? Who is king in your life? You might say, well, I think I am. I'm in charge of my life. I make all the decisions about what I'm going to be doing, what I'm going to be thinking. Others might say, well, it's my boss. He, she at work, she's really in charge of my life. That is the one who's king. Others might say their friends or their family, they're really in charge of how I live my life and the things going on. They're king. The mark of a Christian believer is that we live with Jesus as our king. We don't always manage to obey him all the time, but we ask Jesus to be our king. We try to live with him in charge. And when we do that, we find that Jesus is the best king that we could possibly have. Life with Jesus in charge is life as it was meant to be, helping us to be patient and loving and brave and joyful and hopeful. So Jesus was born in a manger, small and scruffy and probably a bit smelly. But he is king, God's king of the whole world. So what does the angel say? The angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the question is, what will you do this Christmas with God's gift of Jesus? Like this present where we had earlier when he came, he was small, scruffy, insignificant. And many people looked at it and think, no, nothing to do with me, or ignore him, or say, I'm too busy and too important for that sort of thing. I'm just going to get on with life. How could someone who was born ages ago in not very important circumstances be any help to me? But we know from what God says that scruffy and poor as he was, this baby born in a manger was a savior and was a king. He was a savior from sin, so we can put our trust in him, and he is God's king. So let's ask him to be our king. And the shepherds went on, they went back through the village and they said, check out this king, check out this king. You have got to come and see this baby. This is awesome. And Mary, when she saw it, we're told she treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. What does this mean for me? What a great example this Christmas for us. So let's pray that God will help us to be like those shepherds, checking out what this baby is and being ready to ponder it in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came, poor and scruffy and laid in a manger. Help us not to forget you or ignore you, but to trust you as our Saviour and follow you as our King. Amen.